up to turn around. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, your light, O God, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, and we bless your name for the things you have done in this place today, for the things you've done in every heart. We are grateful, Lord, for your presence, Lord, for your tangible presence, Lord. We commit the service to you, Lord. Every word spoken, Lord, will be under the influence of your Spirit. No flesh, Lord, no flesh. No flesh will glow in this place. No flesh will speak in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Move upon your people, O God. Move upon their hearts, O God. And arise the springs of destiny in their souls, O God. Father, we give you thanks. It's all about you, Jesus. We are gathered to you. To you, O Lord, our High Priest. To you, O Lord, our God. To you, O Lord, our Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. You're welcome in Jesus' name. You're welcome. And we just, how many of you are Marys here? How many Marys? How many are, okay, go to the website and get the message. Amen. I think the Spirit of God is emphasizing certain truths unto us today. It's so interesting as I sent a person the topics I wanted to do this week. So I was chatting with Pastor Prodi on the phone. So he, this morning, he said, you know, I'm teaching on the not knowing God. I said, that's exactly what I told him I was sharing. I told Aki. I said, that's very interesting. So the Spirit of God is emphasizing something in the earth. And I think it's very crucial. It is exciting because it's something we know, but it's just to reemphasize it, that everything, the whole essence of everything is actually knowing God. God created man for fellowship, and we'll see how everything you are involved with is now, when we get to eternity, it's a continuous thing we'll keep on doing, knowing God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. We'll start from there, and we'll go through this. 1 John chapter 4. God is doing something special today in the lives of the people. So just open your hearts. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Just follow me. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He's saying here that everyone who loves is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not might be born of God, but he does not know God. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, but he might be born of God." It says, everyone that loveth has two characteristics. He is born of God and knoweth God. However, there are a few people who are born of God, but do not love, therefore do not know God, in the sense that if you have come into a knowledge of God and have understood the love of God, you will automatically walk in love. There's a difference between being born and knowing about God and knowing the person of God. There's a difference between talking about God and knowing who God really is. That's what we're going to focus on today. And let's go to John chapter 8. We have to see a few things here. John 8, 31. John 8, 31. There's a big difference. You can hang around people and yet not know them. You can hang around the things of God for years and yet not know Him personally. And God is emphasizing that today, John 8:30. The essence of everything, God was telling me, when I created man in the garden, He came in the eve of the garden to fellowship with Adam. That's the whole essence of it all. And once we understand that and begin to walk in that, then we'll see great exploits on the earth. John 8:31. He says, then said Jesus to the Jews, let's go to John 17:3. It says, and this is life eternal. What is eternal life? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou art sent. So the eternal life you have received is actually an intimate knowledge. That word know, it means to know in a deep way, to have a deep understanding of the person of God. If you look at 1 John, I won't go there, at your own time, read it, chapter 5. It says, and this is life eternal. That means everything we have received, that it says, this is life eternal. The Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, and this is the true God and eternal life. So God was telling me that, look, that everything we are chasing all is about knowing the person of Jesus Christ Himself. And, you know, and I was looking through the scriptures, it's quite interesting that you might actually do so many things on the outside, you might actually manifest so many things on the outside and not actually know Him, the person of Christ. You might actually do mighty things and not actually know who He really is. You know, God was saying that the emphasis is not, as it were, the outward works, which will be a direct result of your coming to know Him. Because those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But He says, I'm more interested with an intimate knowledge, an intimate fellowship with my people. That's what God is interested in. And once you come to that intimate knowledge, all those things on the outside will automatically begin to happen. Because when you rub consciousness with Him, when you rub minds with Him, it says those that wait upon Him, when you rub your being with His being, the things He naturally likes will begin to flow into your life automatically. You begin to hunger for things He hungers for. You begin to reach out for things He reaches out for. That is what the gospel is about. Let's understand this. We have to get the priorities right again. We'll see how from the scriptures, and God said that He will show you how to actually, from where you are, come to a deep knowledge of Me. See, when you have a need and a necessity in your life, God is not just interested in meeting the need. I understand this clearly. He's interested in taking you within the veil where you can worship Him as God, and that need is just a small thing. He's interested in taking your heart into that very presence in the holiest of all, where you have fellowship. There's nothing more satisfying to a human being on earth than to come in contact through worship with the living God. Nothing can satisfy you. Nothing can fulfill that place in a man's heart. Nothing else will satisfy it. And that's why you were created, to worship Him. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Nothing will satisfy. You can get all, amass all the wealth. You can amass all the relationships on the earth. You can amass all the degrees nothing will satisfy that thing. It says, the Father has sought for one thing from the beginning. John chapter 4. He says, 23, but the hour cometh, 4:23, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So the Father is looking for people to worship Him. He's yearning for people that will worship Him. He's longing for that degree of relationship, of that fellowship, John said, look, all these things we are writing unto you is for one reason, that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So the whole epistle I've written is for one reason, that you might come into a fellowship, into a union with us. And our union and our fellowship is with Jesus Christ and God our Father. So that's what he says. He says that is the essence of it all. And we'll see from the scriptures, we'll go to a few scriptures, and we'll see how, you see, the necessities in your life are God calling you into that intimacy. That is why accepting deliverance is a very short-sighted approach, meaning that you have missed out on the better resurrection. Better resurrection is not necessarily, you know, God is not necessarily a manifestation on the outside, which will happen, but the better resurrection is an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ himself. That you come to know him personally. You come to know the person of Christ Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah 6. You see, Paul understood this thing. I will quote some scriptures because of time. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, this is one prayer I have, that I might know him. Let's go there, actually. Philippians 3. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That if by any means I might attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's go there. We'll see that. Philippians 3. And when you know him and you experience his love, there's no way you will reciprocate that love back to him. I began to see things in the scripture that says, those that love the Lord in truth, I mean, those that love the Lord in reality. He now said, well, we'll go to some scriptures, and you cannot love the Lord without knowing him. I'm saying, we're talking about practice now. He says, he that loveth not his brother does not love the Lord. You might say you do, but you don't. It's a reflection of your relationship with God that you show in your brother's life. So understand, you can be a Christian and not know God. So it's a progressive revelation of the person of Christ. That's what we're talking about. And all we're doing is to point people to that person, because you can be taught so much, you can be shown so much, but each person has to, in his heart, he has to have an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ himself. You have to come in contact with him as a person. And what the word does is to lead you to that person. No man can actually take you there. We can point you in that direction. Books can point you there. But through the reading word, the Holy Spirit is the only person that can take a man's soul into that presence within the veil. And that's why he came. Let's understand this. Philippians chapter 3. He says, let's start from verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the same root word for all the other knowledge you've seen there. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ himself. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is by faith of Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It is about knowing him. That is what Paul was praying for the Ephesians prayer. He said, look, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Him, that's what Jesus told them. I will quote lots of scriptures. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he says, look, you that believe, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth, which is the person, and the truth, Jesus, will set you free. It is not the scriptures that set you free. It is the person that sets you free. The scriptures lead you to the person of Christ who causes liberation in your life. We have taught it of the scriptures. We have taught that you use the scriptures, you confess, fine. The scriptures take you to the person of Christ who sets you free. Understand that there's a difference. Metaphysics will teach you that your words will produce results, fine, but your words lead you to Christ, and Christ now empowers you to speak to cause the release. Even the woman with the issue of blood, she was taught, she said within herself, she confessed the word, fine, but she had to make contact with the person of Christ before it worked. The Roman centurion, he said, I have soldiers under me. He had the thing inside him, but he still had to come to Jesus. That's what we're saying. People are not coming to Jesus. They set the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. No, you have to come to him for that light in the scripture to manifest in your life. You have to come to him. You have to come to him in worship. You have to come to him. He is the one that has the life. You can set the scriptures. You can confess in long. You can do all the principles, but Jesus activates it. Come to him. We are not coming to him. We are taking this and confessing and trying to use willpower to push it through. That is not faith. The God kind of faith has the presence of Jesus Christ inside it. That's the real faith. When you take the word of God, we will show it clearly how the written word takes you to the living word. And when you make contact with Jesus in a man's heart, nobody will tell you. You will know what to do. You know what to do. Look at the scriptures. The woman, the salvation window, she had it. He said, Lord, Jesus said this for the children's bread. They had to come to Jesus. Even though they had the word, they had to come to him personally. We're not coming to him. We're taking scriptures. We want the result, but we don't want him. We want to eat bread, but we do not want him. We need to want him. And it's he that will create that hunger in us. We're going back to the place of worship where we want him. Take everything away, we'll still serve him. Take everything on the outside away, it will not move us. Paul said, everything I count but loss. Take my career, take everything out, I will not move because I love him. And that comes by revelation of who he is. Because if you see him, he's so full of love that love will envelop you. And there's no way you will love him in return. And when you begin to love him, you begin to love the people around. We've taught conduct, which is very important. But the only way you can actually overcome is by coming in contact with the living Christ. We'll see it clearly in the scriptures and how to do it. It's about the living Christ. Let's understand that. So that faith is not your faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. It is his faith. When you come in contact with him, that thing is released on the inside of you. Nobody will tell you know the Lord. See, we're talking about the new covenant, how it actually operates in a man's life. Let's understand this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Isaiah 61, I'll quote you. Isaiah 6:1. It says, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The same thing Paul was saying. When things begin to shake on the outside, it's an opportunity for you to come in contact with the living Christ. Let me tell you, God cannot be to you what man is to you. God cannot be to you what things are to you. God cannot be to you what people are to you. God cannot be to you what money is to you. Understand this. That's why Paul said, I count everything but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Because that's the word that will count at the end. You know, once you come in contact with him and you're now known of him, it makes a difference. Those guys, they did miracles in your name. He said, I do not know you. I do not acknowledge and recognize you. You haven't come to the knowledge of me. You are doing things on the outside, but you do not know me. I was watching a message 2 days ago. I said, Lord, my heart, you see, when you watch those things, your heart begins to hunger for more of him as a person. His mother was preaching, one of the fathers of the faith. I think it was E. Hagen. He was teaching. And he was teaching. And he says, look, it took me 3 hours, 4 hours in time's past to step into the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit is as real as the natural realm to you. As I'm sitting here, the realm of the Spirit is as real as that. And God is there. He said, it took me 4 hours. I pray in the Spirit for 4 hours, and I'm breaking the realm of the Spirit. And I have contact with Jesus and fellowship with Jesus. He said, as time went on, it took me 3 hours. As time went on, it took me 2 hours. As time went on, it took me half an hour. As time went on, it took me 10 minutes. As time went on, I could just step into the Spirit and step out of the Spirit. He said, initially, I was afraid, because when I go into some realms of worship, it's as if I will leave and go and not come back. He said, that's what happened to Enoch. So we're going to the depths of worship. He says, now I can step in and step out. As he was preaching, he stepped in. He said, I have to keep myself here so I don't step into the Spirit so I can express certain things to you. So he stepped into the Spirit and started prophesying. I started talking to Jesus. He said, Jesus is right here. He was talking to Jesus in the Spirit. And he said, no, Lord, he was conversing with him for about 10 minutes. He now came out and said, okay, now three people, Jesus is saying that I should tell you this. No, these are the realms we're supposed to go into. It's not for a certain number of people. You should be tired of hearing people saying, I know Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know his attributes? Do you know who he is? Or do you know about him? Have you been hanging around the things of God for so long? Do you know all the scriptures, but do you know him? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. No. Or you will not come to me that you might have life. He is the source of life. He is still a person. He's not a principle. He's not a practice. He's not a system. He is a person. And the Holy Spirit has come to lead us through the scriptures, the written word, to meet the person of Christ. That's what it's about. And through the challenges, through the necessities, that's what Paul was saying, as one goes up on the earth, I receive a greater knowledge of him. As things are taken around me, away from me, I receive a greater knowledge of him. It's not about just replacing those things on the outside. It's about receiving a greater knowledge of him. And once his knowledge is infused into me, there's going to be things on the outside. Understand that. Let the focus be returned back to him. Because I was thinking, God, what is the better resurrection? He said, the better is the knowledge of me. He said, the glory, you see, the exceeding weight of glory is the knowledge of me. Because once that knowledge comes, Christ will make everything good. Think about it. Think about you being able to converse with Jesus at a frequency that is closer than any human being on the earth. As in, so real to you. No matter where you are, he knows what I'm saying. No matter where you are, and no matter what situation you are in, there's peace. There's peace. So it doesn't matter to you what happens on the outside. That is why I always wonder how did people that were martyred, how did they survive? It wasn't just a theoretical knowledge. No, they had a personal knowledge of the person of Christ. That's why when they put a gun to his forehead, he said, no, he's so real to me. He can shoot me, it doesn't matter. Can take everything around me away, it doesn't matter. That's what we're talking about. Please understand this. It is not about knowing the things around him. We are coming to the place of worship where we will come to know him as a person. The reason why we're not doing exploits is because we do not know him. For those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The reason why we are struggling is because we do not know him. Let's understand that. It is him. It is knowing him as a person. So after that, I said, Lord, the focus now is to know you. Through the challenges, you will know him. Through the necessities, you will know him. We will show you from the scripture how God has designed it, that you will come to a knowledge of him. That is why when you are in any challenge, go to the way of the word, because the word will lead you, first of all, to the person of Christ, who will now, as you interact with him, will show me exactly how it is. A woman... Right? He was saying that a woman has a cycle of ovulation. You know, she has the seed inside her, the eggs, which will go through a process. And when it's time for ovulation, that's the most fertile period of a woman. And once the eggs are released, you need fertilization to cause a seed to be born. He showed me clearly. He said, look, he said, the seed in that woman is like my word that comes to you. And he said the ovulation period is like the period where there's trial and affliction. He said those periods are the most fertile period of a man's life, where if they come to me in worship and I cause my words, my presence to hit that word, there will be reproduction in their lives. But the problem is that once they come to that place, the most fertile period of their life, which is the period where there's crisis, that ovulation period, they turn away. That is the period where he wants to inject that seed, that the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that thing shall be born. That is that period in the furnace of affliction. That is where he causes his life to enter into you. Because as one is taken away, as he's shaken, you receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. He says that we in this body do groan. He says, if our earthly house or this tabernacle is dissolved, I mean, anything you lose in the flesh or on the outside, he says, you cry, you go, there's a building, a replacement, which is the knowledge of God. Understand that. Let's begin to understand this. We're not just about people that are flaking, looking for things on the outside. No, we're not. We're more than that. We're looking for the knowledge of Christ. Inside us, a personal, a knowing of him as a person. Father, we give you thanks. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. The Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. He was in such deep, intimate fellowship that he didn't come back again. He just went. He just went. And he was talking. He said, the times when I'm worshiping him, in that depth of fellowship with his word, as I was afraid because I thought I wouldn't be able to come back. I was in such communion with him, such union with him, that everything seemed like as though I wasn't here. I was afraid initially that I won't come back to my body. I won't come back to the earth. That's the depth he's looking for. He says, the Father has been seeking for true worshippers, people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just singing songs. It is, and you cannot worship him above the revelation of him you have. You can be singing songs, but we're talking about a revelation of his person that he imparts to you. And from that revelation, you will be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not singing songs. It is about worshiping him in reality. Hebrews chapter 10. Just a preamble. I'll just show you what the new covenant is about. Then we'll go into how to do the same. It is what is happening inside a man's soul, like Baraki said last week. We're not talking about the outside. We're talking about the experiences inside a man. You know, that eventually will show on the outside. When you begin to live like this, in a different level, a different realm. Hebrews chapter 10. No, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Let's see what it says. So let's go to Hebrews chapter, sorry, it's chapter 8, it is, sorry. Right, it says here, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. So for if the first covenant had been faultless, that means there was a problem with the first covenant, there should no place have been sought for the second. The reason why there was a second covenant is because there was a fault. What was the fault? The fault was expressed in the character of the people. So for finding fault with them, it means that it could not correct the inadequacies or the nature of the people that were participants of that covenant. He said, behold, the days come, so it means that the new covenant is to create faultless people. That's the essence. It's a progressive thing, but the essence is that, to create a people that are growing up in the nature and the maturity till they reach the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it's about. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Said, this is the covenant that I will make with them, saith after the day, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the great. It means the essence of the covenant is to bring them into a knowledge of Christ. So they shall all know me. So that's the end result. I will be merciful to their transgressions and their sins. I will remember no more. Fine. But they shall all know me. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. They will come into a personal knowledge of Christ. They will come to a personal knowledge of God himself. So they won't need any man to teach you, don't do this. Don't the unction inside them, the knowledge will begin to show them, look, don't do this. This is wrong. This is right. This is not good. You begin to teach them all things that is true and is no lie. So that is what God is taking us in the new covenant. That's where God is taking us in this new covenant. And there's some people in the Old Testament that participated of this depth of worship. People like David, they understood it. They understood and they participated in it. And they came into contact with this knowledge. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 49. We're going to the message now. So when you have a challenge, God uses those things. When they say crisis should not go to waste, it is very true. You know, when I was praying this morning in the early hours, God showed me that scripture. It says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's the moment, the season of response. See, that affliction is but for a moment, and that moment is your season of response. Like the ovulation period I said, it happens when the eggs are released. The eggs stay for about 24 to 48 hours, and another cycle repeats itself. So if you do not maximize that period of the crisis, you miss it out. You miss out on it, you go through another cycle. That's what happens. So the affliction is but for a moment to work for you an exceeding weight of glory. So maximize that moment. That's your season of response. When Mordecai told Esther, look, you have to go into the place of prayer now. Don't tarry, because you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. This period of crisis, you must not let it go to waste. This period of crisis is your time to respond. It is but for a moment. If you miss that moment, you have to wait for another cycle. God will take you to another cycle and bring another situation that you have to respond. Understand how the spirit realm works. It's but for a moment. So understand that. So let's go now. Psalm 119, verse 49. So crisis is the point where you enter into these things. So when you have a crisis or a challenge, keep your place in Psalm 119, verse 49. What happens? I'll quote some scriptures of heart because of time. What happens with that challenge? It says that in Romans 8, it says that, how does it put it? It says that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. It says that our light affliction is working for us an exceeding weight of glory, meaning that the new creature or the creature is subject to vanity, is subject to things that are inconvenient on the outside, is subject to pressure or necessities on the outside, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjects it in hope that the creature should be liberated from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So when that creature is liberated into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, he is able to go out and liberate other people. Understand this. That's the essence of trials and tribulation. So we have to know how to convert those things into the glorious liberty as sons of God. Understand that. That's what the gospel is about. Let me tell you, that's what the gospel is not, it's not for fun. It is to actually know how to turn around the situations that come into your life to challenge the authenticity of the life of Christ inside you as a person. The necessities, the challenges that come to test and to prove, say, show us the resurrection power lives inside you. Show us that you're in contact with the living Jesus. Show us. That's what it's about. And those things are supposed to direct you by the word to the person of Christ. Let's go now to Psalm 119, verse 49. How we transfer that thing. It's about him. Without him, we can do nothing. Psalm 119, verse 49. So this challenge comes, a hopeless situation comes to your environment, a necessity, something that makes you uncomfortable, something that makes you know that is the ovulation period of your life. That is the period where Christ wants to reveal himself, his knowledge to you as a person. Don't waste it away. Don't try and get an alternative. Don't waste that situation. It's very important. Very important. Psalm 119. Verse 49. It says here, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It says, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It says, another translation, remember the promise which you have made to your servant, upon which I am placing my trust in. So I am placing my trust in the promise. From placing my trust in the promise, the Spirit of God will lead me through that promise to place my trust in the person. It says those that believed, he said they believed in the word. Say, if you continue in that word, then you become my disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, which is Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You will come into a knowledge of the truth, and the truth himself will make you free. And whosoever the Son or the truth makes free is free indeed. We're not talking of the scriptures making you free. We're talking of the person making you free. So we're going to show you now how to direct the scripture to the person. So it says here, the promise, I trust that promise, therefore I am placing my trust in that promise. Says, remember the word of thy servant, where would thou have caused me to hope? Remember the promise you have made to me. I'm placing my trust in that promise. I believe through the Spirit that promise will lead me to the person of Jesus Christ. Understand? We'll show you how to get to the person of Christ through the promise. Proverbs 22:18. Let's see that. Practical thing, the practical gospel, which must be practiced, which can be practiced by everyone. So the situation there, the first thing he comes to give you is the promise. Is the promise. Is the promise. And that promise will connect you to the person. I'll read three scriptures and I will explain. Proverbs 22:18. It says here, Proverbs 22:18. It says, from 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, or hear the promise regarding that situation of your life, and apply thine heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, that they shall be fitted in their lips, on thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. So what you do, you feed the promise on your lips, and through that, the Holy Spirit takes you through a process where you now come to meet the person of the living Christ. It's a very simple thing, it's a very practical thing, it's a very practical application. It says, through that, it says that thy trust may be in the Lord himself and not in the promise. Remember, he said, remember your promise which has caused me to hope. Now, he's saying now, from the trust in that, I'm taking you by fitting upon your lips to trust in the person of the living Christ. And I go to Proverbs 3:6. Proverbs 3:6. People say, how do I do this thing? This is how you do it. That's the way the covenant works now. Proverbs 3:6. So that you may be fitted on your lips, that your trust may be in God. That is the continuity that Jesus was talking about to them that believe. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? That's what Hebrews was saying also. He said, hold fast to your profession. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing. That confidence is the word on your lips, steadfast to the end. You become a partaker of the knowledge of Christ. Proverbs 3:6. It says here, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That word acknowledge, if you look at the original Greek, it means to know, to worship, and to come into knowledge of him. So what happens is that when you put that, we've talked about it so many times, I think I've talked about it more than anything else, putting that word on your lips is meditating on the word of God. Meditating on the written word takes you by the Spirit into the to get in contact with the person of the living word. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. As you meditate on that word, the Holy Spirit begins to write it according to the new covenant on the tables of your heart. He says, this is the covenant I will make with them. I will write my laws in their heart, and I will get them to the point where they will come to know me as a person. He says, in all thy ways, know him or acknowledge him, come to a knowledge of him. Then when you come to that knowledge, then he will direct your path. That is where you begin to see, in that place of worship, that's where instructions come. That's where you receive direction. That's where you receive wisdom. That's where you receive instruction. That's where the manifestation of the thing you're looking for comes to pass easily. It says, let the people praise thee. When you come to that place of worship, of rejoicing, of worshiping him as a person, when you come in contact with the living Christ, what happens is that the manifestation takes place outside effortlessly. It says, when the people praise thee, let the verse 3 says, so shall the earth yield her increase and God will bless us. People are not coming in contact with him. That's what's delaying the thing. They're not coming in contact with the person of Christ. I was reading Charles Price's book. He said, look, people have used metaphysics instead of faith. They're trying to use their words to produce the results. They're confessing it, instead of them to understand that the confession is not trying to change the thing on the outside. The confession is directing your heart to the person of Christ. First of all, when you come to that place where you meet him face to face and you mean to worship him, you are engulfed in his presence so much that the outward manifestation becomes immaterial to you. You are enjoying his presence so much that that means everything to you as a person. We've seen it before. You meditate on that thing until you begin to enjoy that fellowship. You forget about the thing. And of his own accord, the earth will yield that increase and manifest the thing on the outside. It's only God that does the works. We're trying to do the work. God does the works. He gives you instruction in that place of worship. That's the deepest part. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5. I want to show you something. How Joshua got the blueprint to overthrow Jericho. So you take it. You meditate. We'll talk about meditation. I won't go through it again. You mutter it to yourself. The Holy Spirit is there. He's writing it on your heart. He's writing it on your heart. And he's taking you, he's directing you. You see, in practicing this thing, I've discovered that what happens is that you begin to lose interest in the things around you, as it were. It begins to regulate your life. All you want to do is to go back home and meditate on those scriptures. All the people you have been, you want to cut off, not for the season, some relationships. Television is cut off. You don't force it. As you meditate on it, and you begin to draw from that life. I begin to draw from the person of Christ. You begin to see him. He begins to become more real to you. You sleep on your bed and you're muttering it to yourself. That's all you want to do. You go out and carry out your normal activity regarding what you're supposed to do, the necessary things, the needful things you should do. But when you come back home, you just lie down. I'm going to mutter that scripture to yourself. You're going to mutter it to yourself. Something like, you're going to mutter the scripture he has given you to yourself. The scripture is life. And you need to do, you're going to mutter it to yourself. The love and the person of Christ becomes more real to you than anything on the outside. After a process of time, the thing begins to rub up on you so much. When you go out and they challenge you regarding that particular situation, subconsciously, words of force, words of faith come out without you thinking about it. It comes out, and after some time, that person of Christ, he begins to gather all the ready, see, this thing is so practical, all the relevant things you require in that situation, effortlessly. After some time, you begin to understand and begin to feel angelic activity around you. He becomes so real to you. Nothing faces you again. You're not forcing it because of your communion with him in the place of meditation and worship. Things are happening inside you, and your faith begins to shine like Moses. It's a subconscious thing. You don't force it. That is what faith really is. You're not trying to make it work. No. It is coming to him. And that scripture will take it to him. See, that scripture will try this thing over and over again. The times we miss it, and the times we departed from this practice. It begins to show you, it begins to operate in the words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You begin to see things before they happen. I'm telling you this, you begin to see things in your dream by revelation. You begin to know things that will happen. You won't surprise you anymore because you are fellowshipping with him. He begins to rub off on you. Nothing looks impossible anymore. You're different, but you are changed. You are changed. The problem is that we understand this, we practice it, then we depart from it. We seem to practice it only when there's no option. When there are other options, we start to go with the other option. That is the gospel. Joshua, I want to show you before we go. Because when you get to that place, when you see him face to face, it's a different level. Because, hold your place in Joshua, that's the last verse we read. If you go to 2 Timothy 1:12, when you're at home, and 1 Peter 1:9. It says, God has called you primarily to the fellowship of his son. That's your first calling. Before you're a pastor, before you're a doctor, before you're anything, the first thing he has called you to is the fellowship of his son. 1 Peter 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. He has called you first to the fellowship of his son. You cannot minister to the people on the outside you have not ministered to Him. Your faith is first towards God Himself. The essence of all the confession, the essence of all the meditation, is to take you to meet Him. So it's like saying, come, I want to introduce you to Christ Jesus. And when you make contact with Him, like a man makes contact with a woman, a seed is born. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. We cannot relegate Him to the outside. And you cannot meet Him without the presence of the Holy Spirit. So it's so important. These things are so vital. That is what is leaking the power. That's why it looks so mechanical. We've taken out the Spirit. We've taken out the presence of Christ. And by metaphysical means, we've tried to use words to force things on the outside, eliminating the person, the communion of the Spirit, the person of Christ Himself. That is what it's about. That's what Christianity is about. For the Father has been seeking for true worshippers. Fellowship is the greatest experience in life. You know, that's why Job says, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace, so shall good come unto you. He said, acquaint now thyself with Him, not with things, not with Him as a person, and be at peace, so shall good come unto you. So let's understand that. And how do we, you see, we have to, he has done everything, he has laid it down. Hosea 6:3, it says, we will know Him if we follow on to know. David said, my soul follows hard after you. As the deer pants after the water, so my soul longs for you. Let's understand this. Anything can be given to you on the outside. Didn't Satan have all those things? He said, I will give you if you bow. He said, let me just give you this car. Let me give you this thing. Let me distract you for a bit. But we're talking about the knowledge of Christ in a man's soul, which is the most important thing. Understand that. So he has made his move. He has done everything for us. And he's seeking that fellowship and that communion. And first of all, we have to pray to God to create a hunger in us. There's no more hunger. Like the prayer meeting last Friday. That hunger for Him. That's why sometimes when they take things outside, when things are kicked outside, he says, okay, now, come and face me. When things are taken from us, when things are around us fail, now it's time for you to go and seek. That hunger must be there. That hunger must be there. A.W. Tozer said, if that hunger to know Him, if that prayer departs from the lips of a believer that I might know the person of Christ that's in a backsliding state that he doesn't know yet. You might have things on the outside. We're talking about things now. You might even be prospering in your career on the outside. We're talking about the life of God, that when you come into the presence of Jesus Christ, you say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. We know ourselves. That's what we're heading to. That's the gospel of Christ. But the thing here about fellowship is that it is not a one-way process. Like I said, it's not just being around. It is a thing of conversation. When you come in contact with Him, you begin to share. You begin to converse. You begin to share visions and dreams. Just imagine God in the garden telling Adam, Adam, why don't we move that thing there? I said, Laomi, why don't we go to take Bromley over? My plan for Bromley. Abraham, I can't hide from Abraham. This thing I'm about to do on the earth. That's what we're talking about. He begins to share his innermost thoughts with you. I want to do something in this area. I need you to help me do that. The things that God is in God's heart, but we're so busy pursuing our own agenda that why we're even giving heed to the things, even from the one He has written, for us to obey. Not talk of the one that we hear Him speak to us. Understand that it's so important. No, this is so important because we're not, you see, this life is just a passing phase. There will be a continuum where there's a reward for the things done in the body. So think about the standing in the presence of Christ Jesus. So come and stand now. These are the things that are written of you. Have you fulfilled them? That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter if men are giving you accolades. Those things don't matter for nothing. It's what Christ has said. He said, okay, one, let's take it. You do it. So you're supposed to spread the gospel in that area. No? You didn't do it. You're supposed to open businesses in that area. You know that. So these are things we should be to think that life doesn't end here. It is a continuum to that place. Lest we are overcharged with the things on the earth. We're overcharged with drinking, with wine, with surfeiting, with all those things around us, that we forget the true essence of our being as people of God. It's so important. So important. So, the disadvantage of my say, God already knows you. In this fellowship we're talking about. So you see, I have to know it. He knows everything about you. He knows you're going out, you're coming in. Before you utter a thought, he knows it already. So it's all about you now coming to know him. We'll continue about how the process, we'll talk about how, you get into that place is by meditating on the living word. In fact, someone was saying, he said, I want to know you, Kidmore. I've heard two men of God say this. Kidmore said it, even Andrew Womack said it. He said, Lord, I want to know you, I want to know you. I want to know you, I want to know you. God said, you want to know me? I'm here now. I like the way Kidmore put it. He said that, he was praying, he said, I want to know you. God said, you want to know me? He said, read your Bible. He says, imagine reading your Bible for 4 hours. It means I'm speaking to you for 4 hours. That means I'm speaking to you. You're coming to know me. Read your Bible. They asked him, he said, what do you learn in Rema? He said, we learn to read our Bible as we pray every day. That's what we learn. Simple things, but we don't do it. Like we heard last week. It's by simple things. Consistently doing simple things. Sitting in your Bible, is God speaking to you? You're coming to know him. So you're reading your Bible with the purpose of, I want to know you. Because Jesus Christ said in John 24, he says he expounded of himself from the scriptures, from the book of Moses, things concerning himself. That means everything concerning himself was inside here. From the prophets to Moses to the Psalms, he expounded unto them things concerning himself. But still they did not know him. Their hearts were burning inside them. But until they made contact with him in the breaking of bread, then their eyes were opened. So your heart might be burning inside you as the revelation is coming forth. But you have to make contact with the person of Christ. And today we'll break bread and believe God that we will know him in the breaking of bread. Father, we give you thanks. Judges chapter 5. We'll continue in the upper week. But this series is on knowing God, the person of Christ. Because when we know him, we'll become strong and do exploits. Judges chapter 5. Let me just read that through. I want to show you something. We say Joshua, he went with the strategy. You see, it's not by copying. It's not by trying to do what other people did. These people got things by coming to a knowledge of Christ. They had an encounter with the word, with the person of Christ, and they did things. So it's foolish to just say, okay, I want to take the things they did and go and carry it out. It doesn't sound. When you haven't come in contact with the person of Christ regarding your own. So Joshua, what happened here? Joshua chapter 5. He says, let's start from 14. When he met the captain. He said, no, he said, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what said my Lord unto his servants? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose the shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none could come in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho, and the kings thereof, and the mighty men of Valor, and shall compass the city and march round it. So this is what he was, from the place of worship, he was on his face. He was getting instructions about what to do in Jericho. That's what I'm telling you. It's on the place of worship that you get instructions from God on how to carry out the thing. It's from the place of worship that you get instructions on that project you are seeking for. When you come in contact with the person of Christ, as you begin to worship him in spirit, he will tell you what you, this is a strategy for Jericho, conquering Jericho. The most formidable defense on the earth. He conquered it by getting instructions. He was on his face worshiping. And then he was giving instructions. So this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. As you're worshiping God, you need to show you things to come. You need to reveal the things, the deep things of God regarding that thing you have been believing for. Jesus begins to show you. He becomes more real to you than anything on the outside. That's what we're going to. That's what we're going to. Now we'll round up by the breaking of bread, Luke 24. He said he expounded to them things in the scriptures concerning himself. God has shown you things, formidable promises regarding yourself. But he's saying that he's showing you in the scriptures the promise, you know, which has given you hope. But he says you still have to make contact with me. You still have to make contact with me, the person of Christ. So that's what he's saying. Luke 24, as we round up. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Luke 24. We believe God as a body that this will be the beginning of a move towards coming to know the person of Christ. The person of Christ. That he'll become all in all to us. As we break bread today, that the Holy Spirit is going to show us in greater dimensions the person of Jesus Christ himself. Luke 24. When you begin to see that, you begin to know that everything on the outside will fade away. You begin to see it becomes clear to you that when you see all that in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You begin to see that those things don't really matter. That Jesus Christ inside you can reproduce those things when and as and when you need it. He says that don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So when you begin to come in contact with Christ, you begin to experience that love of the Father. And those things become insignificant to you. Things on the outside become insignificant to you. Say like Paul, I count all things but dung, that nothing can exchange for the time of communion I have with Jesus Christ. That these things on the outside are not comparable to the person of Jesus Christ, the fellowship I have with him in my closet, in my heart. He has become so real to me, more real to me than anything on the outside. That anything on the outside means nothing to me compared to the person of Christ. That's what God wants. God doesn't want you to be forced to want to pray and all that. He wants you to want to do it. He wants you to want to fellowship with him. He wants you to want to stay. Imagine if someone is, you're talking to someone, the person is saying, you see when the person's body language, he doesn't want to really stay there with you. He wants to go away. God is a person. He feels things. He has emotions. He wants you to want to do it. Initially, it might start as a discipline, but as time goes on, you're going to enjoy that fellowship. You're going to enjoy that place with him, and you're going to enjoy that time with him as a person. Father, we give you thanks. Luke 24, as we read it, we break bread. As we break bread, we call Sister Ayo to come. Father, we give you thanks. Luke 24. Luke 24. Thank you, Jesus. From verse 26. They ought not Christ to have suffered these things. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village, till he expounded the things concerning himself, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is past spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he eat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us when the scripture was being shared? Did not our hearts burn within us when we were confessing the word and meditating on it? When he talked to us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures, and they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So we believe God. And they said when they were explaining to the brethren, verse 35, he says, And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Say, how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. How he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let's believe God as a body that will come to a personal knowledge, not a general knowledge, that each person, each soul will be drawn into that presence within the veil. He says, We are come unto Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. And he says that we'll come boldly, that hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, enters into that within the veil. Into the very presence, the presence of the Father inside the veil. that presence, that soul, that the Holy Spirit will take us into the very presence of God, that we will come into a knowledge of Him as a person. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the same way He took the bread and break it and said, take it. This is my body which was broken for you. Now eat all of it. Believe in God that as you open the scriptures, as you come in your closet, as you're fellowshipping with Him, that fresh revelation of the person of Christ Jesus will come unto you as a person. That you will come into an intimate knowledge of Him as a person. Eat the bread. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, I took the cup and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it. The life is in the blood. As we partake of the blood, we thank you, Father, for the shield of protection over us. We thank you, Father God, for you purged our consciousness from dead works to serve you. The blood has purged our consciousness from dead works to serve you and has freed us from every form of guilt and condemnation, giving us access into the very presence of the Father. It is by the blood we enter in boldly to the very presence within the veil where that Jesus Christ, our forerunner, has gone in. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has given us access into His presence. The blood has given us access to actually come into that knowledge of Him, that personal knowledge of Him. Father, we give you thanks. Let's partake of the blood. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. As we're worshiping, I just saw as a picture, I should pray for the aisle. Just stretch out our hand and pray for her. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Join us next to the person beside you. If you can, just stretch out your hand as the body of Christ. Father, we give you thanks. It's about destiny. It's about destiny. It's about being a co-laborer with Christ. Every soul is important. Every soul has a function. Every soul has a destiny. Every soul has a place and a path to play in the end, in the scheme of things. Everybody has an assignment. We're praying for Ion to get the assignment that God has given her. That there be no hindrance. That the purpose that God formed her for, when He breathed even life into her, when He caused her to come to the end, that purpose will come to pass. Nothing will hinder it. Nothing will stop it. That purpose will be fulfilled in her life. As a wife, as a mother, as a member of the body of Christ, that the purpose of God will not be thwarted, that the blood of Jesus Christ goes into her path to wipe out every memory, to wipe out every event, to wipe out everything the enemy has tried to steal. And for every shame she has received double, and for every confusion she has rejoiced in her portion. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, light be in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, light be in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, light be in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, light be in the name of Jesus Christ. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness is dispelled from our life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Thank you, Father, we give you praise. We thank you for it is done. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, we bless your name. Thank you, Father, we bless your name. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.